how can I have 9 million followers and feel this alone?
The Dori Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
But I do. Coming to you from the Car Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Welcome to The Big Lead. I want to remind everybody, we've just opened up another sweet block group of tickets for the live show that we are doing on September 13th, a Friday night, in Federal Way. Go to mynorthwest.com/events. There's a little hyperlink there if you want to get tickets to come and join us. Okay, with that as a mere prelude, let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. A brand new Democrat presidential poll just came out. This is another one of the early primary states. South Carolina and the South Carolinians were asked, just the Democrats, they were asked, if the presidential election were today, who would you vote for president? And one of the things in this poll is Joe Biden is still far and away on top. He got 36%. And that's a big drop off to Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris and a few others. But here's the uh-oh. Because as you know, I desperately want Jay Inslee to be the next president of the United States. Jay Inslee, 0%. Oh, no. I mean, this follows the New Hampshire poll that came out a few days ago, where over 500 people were asked that question in New Hampshire, and not one person said Jay Inslee is their guy. Do we all want the planet to just burn? Do we all want to die in a fiery ball from Hades in 12 years? Because only Jay Inslee is going to prevent that from happening. So he's been telling CNN and MSNBC incessantly in all of his interviews that he's the climate change guy. And this is the one issue that we should all care about. And it has gotten zero traction. So that's the brand new poll. South Carolina, Jay Inslee, 0%. Wait a second. There's another new poll out today. Uh-oh! This is a national YouGov poll for The Economist. And in this poll, Biden has slipped. Elizabeth Warren is gaining. In fact, they're just 1 point apart. Biden, 21%. Elizabeth Warren, 20%. Bernie Sanders, 16%. Let's see. Where's Jay Inslee? He's not there. Let's see. Cory Booker, 2%. Castro, that devil, sending out the names and addresses, the workplaces of people who donated to the president so people can dox them. What an evil person Castro is. I never thought this would be possible. I think I like Fidel better than Julian Castro. Anyway, Castro's at 1%. Klobuchar. I'll learn how to say her name if she ever becomes relevant. She's at 1%. Wait a second. Uh-oh! Jay Inslee, 0% in this poll, too. Now who's going to save the planet? I hope he hangs in there. Because if we're going to spend millions and millions of dollars on 14 state patrol personnel to traipse around the country as his personal protection detail, making our roadways less safe. But he doesn't care. He's on a mission to save the planet. And as I've told you, Jay Inslee doesn't believe one word that he says about the planet, because he would not live his life the way that he does if he cared. But he's not the only one. I got another one that you have not heard about, I'm sure. But Jay Inslee, 0%, 0%. He's in danger of missing the next debate in September because you have to have at least 2% in three polls, and he's at zero. So it looks like, and man, the Jay Inslee I know, he doesn't like wasting tax dollars, but it looks like the millions and millions of dollars we've spent on his personal protection detail, it looks like it might be going to waste. Dang it. But let me give you another example. Seattle City Council member Lorena Gonzalez, she cast a vote on that soda tax because, as you know, Seattle politicians love, love, love to tax the poor and minorities. And so when they found out last year that poor people and minorities disproportionately drink soda pop, they said, well, we got to tax them. We got to go get them, because if there's anything that Seattle politicians hate, it's the poor and minorities. So anyway, Lorena Gonzalez, she called in her vote on that citywide soda pop tax. But we just found out this on the Capitol Hill block. She called in her vote in the middle of the night from Copenhagen. You're probably wondering, what was she doing in Copenhagen? She was there to study sustainable urban strategies. It's called the Eco District Effort. And they want to bring to Capitol Hill ideas to radically change the public realm. And they say, while still increasing mobility and promoting economic development. I guarantee you that Lorena Gonzalez does not care about mobility and economic development. Mobility has gotten horrible in Seattle with this city council. But the Bullitt Foundation is funding. Listen to who went. Representatives from Seattle Central College, from Sound Transit, oh, you know it's about the people then. The Seattle City Council, the King County Council, Joe McDermott from the King County Council went. The state DOT had people on this trip. Seattle U, and then some private foundations. Bullitt Foundation, Kaiser Permanente, Capitol Hill Business Alliance. You know what? I screwed up becoming Seattle's most beloved radio talk show host. That was a horrible career decision by me, because on the pathway to this exalted status, there are a lot of people who tell me regularly how they disagree with me. But I'm telling you, if I became a leftist toady of politically correct social justice causes, everybody around me would have just told me how great I was and how wonderful I am to think about the planet. By the way, if you care about the planet, do you send a delegation of 50 people on airplanes to Copenhagen? They couldn't have Skyped in with the Copenhagen officials to figure out how to screw up Capitol Hill even worse? They don't care about these issues. You do not live your life with your entourages in SUVs and flying all around the planet if you believe this is the single greatest problem facing mankind. Ooh, sorry, personkind. That's my bad. I used a gendered word. Sorry. Anyway, if you think this is the single biggest problem facing mankind, you do not live your life helping destroy the planet with all your air travel and entourages. You just don't do it. They're all a bunch of phonies, I'm telling you. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
We told you a couple of hours ago a very shocking story out of Ballard. Now, just yesterday, we told you about the guy with a pitchfork who sounded to me like he tried to murder a woman. She was in her car using her purse as a shield as he was trying to stab her in the leg, and then he tried to stab her in the neck and the chest. That sounds like attempted murder. But, of course, in Seattle, we don't charge vagrants, meth heads, with serious crimes. We've got to get them back on the street as quickly as possible so we can use them as an example of why taxes need to be hiked. So they played catch and release with this guy. He had gotten out of jail 4 days earlier. 4 days. And then tries to murder a woman in Ballard. And the only reason this woman is still alive, in my opinion, is because of the Good Samaritans, who they're construction workers and just passersby, who heard her screaming, "Help, he's trying to kill me." And our news partners at Cairo 7, they talked to one of the guys, his name is Christopher Perry, who helped chase the pitchfork guy down.
Tried to kind of weave and duck and dodge and just sat on him and wrist locked him so that he dropped his weapon.
I've said this a million times, as absolutely impotent as our politicians and prosecutors are, the fact that we still have Good Samaritans who are willing to do the job that our elected leaders will not, they're the ones who will put their lives on the line. These elected people, they will do anything for money and power, and they don't face danger themselves. You know, you got a prosecutor, you got a King County prosecutor who lives in a $800,000 gated mansion that overlooks the water. He doesn't have to worry about street crime when he's behind the gates, the fence of his house. So they just play catch and release. Well, we have another one that we found. Let me play you. Here's another witness who chased the guy. Talked to Cairo 7, Chris Weller.
I yelled, screamed for him to stop, at which point he kind of turned and he tried to flee. So I took off after him. He was trying to kind of stick it back behind him and shake me off, and at which point I was able to tackle him.
And he said that this guy was obviously drugged up.
Just everything about him, you could tell he was on something.
And the guy admitted to shooting up meth about a half hour before he tried killing the woman with the pitchfork. And again, they did not charge attempted murder. The woman is screaming, "Help, he's trying to kill me," and they charge him with second-degree assault, stabbing at a woman with a pitchfork. It's unconscionable. And Cairo 7 told these Good Samaritan heroes about this guy's criminal past.
And this time, hopefully, it sticks. I mean, stays in there for a while, gets the help he needs.
He will not stay in for a while. We play catch and release. Well, I've got another one for you. We told you this story a couple of hours ago. I talked to the general manager of a shipyard in Ballard. His name's Doug Dixon. And he told me about a vagrant woman who stole a hard hat from, it was either an SDOT or a Seattle Public Utilities crew. And with that hard hat, what did she do? So tell my listeners, because I don't think anybody's heard about this story, what you and your co-workers witnessed a couple of weeks ago.
Well, yes, unfortunately, one of our bookkeepers was handing out cigarettes to the indigents here on 24th Street in Ballard. And one of them apparently stole a hard hat. She, looked like a worker coming in the yard, so nobody questioned her. She proceeded over to the King Crab vessel, the 122-footer called the North Sea, built by Marco back in the day, a big sister to the deadliest catches, Northwestern.
Okay.
Anyhow, it's in the yard here for repairs, and we had guys down in the engine room. Our union work crew was down doing a lot of work down in the engine room, and the engine starts to turn over. And, of course, they're working there, not on the engine, so it wasn't locked out or tagged out. But hearing the engine run was problematic. They ran up to the wheelhouse, and here's this lady. They chased her out, chased her down, chased her out to the arms of the cops, and they arrested her and for felony theft.
And he told me that she was back on the streets within 24 hours after a felony. And he was comparing this to the guy who stole the Horizon airplane and did loop-de-loops over Puget Sound before crashing the plane, killing himself. Luckily, he didn't take out people on the ground. But that was a horrible story. And he said that he wrote to the prosecutor because if this woman had successfully commandeered this crab boat, as powerful as it is, and if she had gone down the cut to the locks, he says it could have been a disaster. Tell everybody why you were writing to the prosecutors.
Well, she was let go after 24 hours. They didn't ask for any bail or anything. They just let her go, and don't you know, she gets arrested within another 24 hours, and apparently she is in the clink now. But if she wouldn't got arrested again,
she's back out.
Oh no, she's back out. I just heard.
No.
she could have gone. You know, she's got the wherewithal to start a grab boat. She could have snuck in at night and done it because we're not that secure here. And I'm concerned she'd use it to ram the locks and drain Lake Washington.
Yeah, he said that this crab boat, and I said, really? This crab boat? And he said, yeah, the diesel engine on this is so powerful. He said, if she had gone and rammed the dam at the Ballard Locks, it could start draining the cut in Lake Washington. And by the way, floating bridges, they need water to float on. And if you drained Lake Washington, I mean, can you imagine the disaster? And they let this woman go after trying to commandeer a crab boat. It's the catch-and-release program for drug vagrants. And it's also an example that we have a two-level system of justice. If you or I had tried stealing a crab boat and charged with a felony, we'd get locked up, we'd do time, we would pay gigantic fines and legal fees and all of that. If a drug vagrant does it, they just let them go. There's no money to be had, and public safety they couldn't care less about. And so they play catch and release. So that's the story the general manager of the shipyard told me a couple hours ago of the vagrant who tried to commandeer a crab boat. And we're talking about this could be, you know, environmental, ecological, and economic disaster if someone were successfully to ram the locks. And I'm sure the locks, and I've had some people who sound like they're in the know, that they have some gates they could put up if the dam is ever breached at the east end of the locks, but it would take hours and would significantly drain down the waterways east of the locks. And we play catch and release with people like that. That was a Dory Monson Show exclusive. And that is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We are going to check the news for you, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Our awesome audio is coming up next. And as we roll through the afternoon, we do have some breaking news coming to us out of Philadelphia.
Breaking news.
So we're just getting the very preliminary details, but one television station is reporting that four police officers have been shot in Philadelphia. NBC Philadelphia is telling us that cops were responding to a shooting incident in a North Philadelphia neighborhood. And as they responded, a guy inside the house started shooting at police officers. So the officers had to take cover behind cars, blocked off surrounding streets. They were fired upon by an unidentified shooter. A spokesman for the Philadelphia police says several officers were injured in the exchange. And as I said, one television station says four officers have been shot. We do not know the condition of any of those police officers, but this is a developing story in Philadelphia in the late afternoon there, 5:35. And also, they have had to ask the television news helicopters to clear out of the area because it was hindering the police helicopters trying to investigate, seeing if any other gunmen were running from the scene. So the zealousness to cover this story has resulted in the airspace problem. So several officers have been shot in Philadelphia. One television station says four police officers were shot as they responded to a shooting call at a North Philadelphia neighborhood. So we'll continue to keep an eye on what is being called an active and ongoing situation there. As far as we know, the shooter is still inside the house from which the shots were fired. Okay, with that sad news as prelude, let's get to our awesome audio of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
And it's kind of a themed awesome audio. We start with a woman who was on a first date with a guy, and the guy that she was dating, he decided the cops were going to pull him over in what seemed to be a routine traffic stop, and he instead took them on a high-speed chase with his first date in the passenger seat.
Number two.
Does anybody else in the car come in?
Flagler County Sheriff's deputies used stop sticks to disable a vehicle that fled a traffic stop in Palm Coast about 2 a.m. Thursday, only to learn the driver bailed out into some woods, leaving the passenger, a woman, to face the consequences. We are not identifying her because she's not charged with a crime.
He didn't say anything to you other than I don't have a license.
You don't have a license.
And that's why
he wasn't stopping.
Turns out the woman had just met the Orlando area man on a dating website and stopped at this Palm Coast Denny's for dinner on the way to her house.
Okay, first of all, it's their first date, and he takes her to Denny's.
Ooh.
That might have been the first red flag of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
But then at 2 a.m., he takes her on the high-speed chase before running into the woods, leaving her sitting in the car.
When a deputy tried to stop the vehicle for a tag violation, the date told the woman he'd go to jail, so he raced off.
Well, he was exceeding the speed limit, driving very erratically. She was very scared in the vehicle, she told us. And she didn't really know his last name. She knew him by two different first names.
Law enforcement officials tell us the same woman whose date went so wrong on Thursday was the victim in a different incident also involving a man last month, an incident that turned violent and was caught on camera. In that instance, a man the woman was seeing but trying to get away from at a Bunnell store threw himself on her vehicle, shattered her windshield, then attacked her when she got out, pounding her, knocking her unconscious.
That wasn't a date. That thing was last month.
Somebody she was seeing, as in dating.
So she's had two dates like this in less than a month.
Yes. From a dating site. I'm thinking... That is a great example when people ask why I'm not on dating sites. That's why.
What's the dating site? Cons.com? What? Where do you meet these guys? And again, if your first date, he takes you to Denny's, that's probably a sign that it's not going to be Mr. Right for you. I'm just guessing. Although, have you ever had the Moons Over My Hammy?
Ooh, the Superbird.
Oh, man. Okay, and speaking of first dates, this one, this is just fantastic. So a girl, she looks like she's maybe in high school. Her first date comes, or a guy, it's their first date. He comes to the house and he rings the doorbell. Well, dad isn't at home, but he's got one of those video doorbell cams. And I was just thinking about this. If I had ever done something like this, my daughters, every one of them would have been so mortified. They would have disowned me. But this dad, he decided to interview his daughter's date via the doorbell cam.
Number one.
Hello? Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. Who's this?
I'm Jared. Hello, Jared. This is Pedro. This is Grace's dad.
Oh, good to talk to you.
Oh, sorry I can't meet you in person because I'm at work. So at least I get to see your face, but you don't get to see mine.
All right.
Where are you guys going?
I think we're going to go to the Roadhouse and then maybe a movie.
Okay, which movie are you guys going to go see?
Hello?
Hello, my young daughter. Just hold on 1 minute.
Okay, the daughter walks out of the house and discovers the dad is talking to this guy who's picking her up for the first date.
What movie are you guys going to go see?
Toy Story.
Okay, roughly what time are you guys going to be coming home?
The movie's at 7, probably before 11.
Oh, I heard 10:30. Okay, that's good.
Works for me.
All right, so just make sure you treat her correctly because that's my first daughter.
You don't have to worry, sir.
All right. All right. I got a good picture of you.
Okay, by the way, so the daughter's just standing there mortified. I'd be curious what you think. Is this just great parenting? I think it's pretty funny, but I also know that if I had done this, you know my daughters.
If that's the worst this guy has done to embarrass his daughter, he's doing a pretty good job. I would have been mortified, but whatever.
I think it's really funny. I never would have done this.
All right. Call me if anything.
Okay.
And remember, I know people everywhere, so they're looking at what you're doing.
Okay.
All right. Love you.
All right, bye.
What time coming home?
That's always a red flag when you say love you.
The kid back.
In return says, okay, bye. And then he asks again, what time are you coming home on this day?
Before 11.
Okay, I heard 10:30 again. Okay. So I'll see you later. And remember, I know what time the movie starts again.
Oh, my God.
7:20. 7:20, movie ends like around 9:15. Yeah, so before 10:30.
Okay, 11 o'clock.
10:30.
11.
Don't make me look for you, because I will. You know I will.
Okay, 11. All right. Yeah.
All right, so I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to talk to you.
All right, talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
You got enough money?
Then you see the guy and her walk down to his car, which is parked in front of the house.
Hey, go take a picture of his license plate.
What?
All right, no. I talk to it, okay?
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, my God. Bye.
Jordan, take a picture of his license plate.
So you're telling one of the other siblings to go take a picture of the guy's license plate.
No, they're still in front of the house. I'm watching. I'm talking to them. Take a picture right now. You better open the door. Good job on opening the door, Herb.
Because the guy opened the car door for the daughter to go out on the date. All right, what do you think? Great parenting, funny, or too much embarrassment for the kid? That's our awesome audio. Send me a text on the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. That's 98973. And on a much more serious note, we do have an active shooting situation in Philadelphia. We're told that at least 4 police officers have been shot. We will give you the very latest as we continue our breaking news coverage as the Dory Monson Show continues. Now, we are not going to do a more frivolous topic at the end of the show here because we're following some breaking news in Philadelphia. We're told that this is an active and ongoing situation. But police were responding. It's a North Philadelphia neighborhood. They're responding to a call about narcotics activity. And that's when somebody inside a house opened fire on police officers. In fact, a television station is interviewing an eyewitness. Let's take you there live to Philadelphia.
Too much going on. Way too much going on.
Did you hear anything?
It appears that there has been a new development now.
Fox News right there. But here's some of the details we're getting. I am just seeing dozens and dozens of police cars. They say that police were responding to narcotics activity, and that's when somebody inside the house opened fire on police officers. One report is at least four officers have been shot. Another is saying that at least five officers have been shot in this situation. And we don't know the condition of any of the officers who have been shot, but they say that the standoff continues with at least one gunman at this house in North Philadelphia. As I hear this story, I just, more than being angry with our politicians around here, I'm just heartbroken for our cops who do put their lives on the line every single day. And when they do something wrong, we hold them accountable. But the vast majority of police officers just want to serve. They are willing to risk their lives to keep our neighborhoods safer, to keep us safer. We have members of the Seattle City Council. And again, this breaking news story is going on in Philadelphia. But we have a member of the Seattle City Council who called cops murderers who had been exonerated. And you know what that does to the morale of these men and women? I mean, you want a stark reminder of the job that these cops have to do? Go and watch the video from a few months ago. It was the day we had the big snowstorm here. Go and watch the video of Seattle cops who had to respond to a domestic violence call at an apartment near Northgate, where a woman had locked herself in the bathroom and called 911, and these cops in the middle of the night go up, they hear the woman screaming, they have to break the door down because, for all they knew, she was being killed as that incident unfolded. And then a guy comes at them, and you clearly see it on their body cams. The guy comes at them with a knife, and they have to make the hardest decision a cop can make. But it was him or them, and they had to open fire on him. And I was outside doing just a goofy live open to my show in the snowstorm. And there was an accident in the snow. And there was a Seattle cop who was here for the accident. And I went and I knocked on his window and he goes, "What's up?" He didn't know who I was. And I just said, "I just want to say thank you for the job you do." And now today, you know, we're hearing about, you know, this chaos with the King County Sheriff's Office and the absolute desperate lack of leadership there. And, you know, Seattle police have city council members calling them murderers when they're exonerated. In fact, I'm told we got a CBS update that we are just getting on the situation in Philadelphia. So let me take you to that live as we cover this breaking news in Philly.
CBS News special report, five police officers have been shot in an ongoing situation in the city of Philadelphia. KYW-TV's Joe Holden reports from near the scene.
All of these wounds are believed to be non-life threatening. That is in the characterization of the deputy commissioner there. I'm told that the doer, the gunman who started firing at police, had reloaded. Narcotics units were there to handle some sort of investigation concerning this unidentified man. At last check with this deputy commissioner, this gunman was apparently still in a position to fire at Philadelphia police.
The shooting happened along the city's well-known Broad Street area near the Erie Avenue SEPTA station, the transit location. The latest numbers that we have from our affiliate KYW News Radio at this time is that five Philadelphia police officers have been shot, all at Temple University Hospital, listed in stable condition. CBS News special report, I'm Bill Rakoff.
Oh, listed in stable condition. Oh, I hope to God, I pray to God that that is true, that they're all in stable condition. But that's the breaking news. We'll have more from CBS coming up in just a couple minutes at the top of the hour. So at least five police officers shot this afternoon in Philadelphia. God bless our cops, and shame on our politicians who continue to demonize them. And we'll have more from CBS at the top of the hour, and I'll see you tomorrow at High Noon.